We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
Thank you and greetings, friends, ladies and gentlemen. Our subject for discussion is the Lord's Day or Sabbath. Should Christians observe the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, or the Sabbath day? The Lord's Day is the first day of the week, not the seventh or Sabbath. Referring to the Lord's Day as the Sabbath is a mistake. Sunday, the first day of the week, is the Lord's Day. Saturday, the seventh day of the week, was the Sabbath day. The question, are Christians to observe the Lord's Day or Sabbath day? It is affirmed that God finished His work and rested on the seventh day, the Sabbath. Therefore, we should observe the Sabbath and not the Lord's Day. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3, we are told, should be our example. Although God did finish His work of creation and rested on the Sabbath, having blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, it was not until 2,500 years later that the Sabbath day was dedicated and set apart, sanctified as a holy day of worship and service. It was then God appointed the Sabbath as a day of rest for the children of Israel, after their deliverance from the bondage of Egypt. Previous to this time, there is no biblical record of any man on earth observing the Sabbath for any purpose. What God did is one thing. What man is to do is another thing. The Sabbath was not given for the Jews to observe because God finished His work and rested on the Sabbath. The Sabbath was given to be observed by the Jews only in memory of their deliverance from the bondage of Egypt, as you may read in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 15. The word Sabbath occurs for the first time in the Bible in Exodus chapter 16, verses 22 and 23, as follows. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread. Two omers of one man and the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses, and said unto them, This is that which the Lord hath said, Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Moses did not command the Jews then to continue an observance of the Sabbath. This was a new observance. His detailed instructions in verse 23 through 26 of Exodus 16 is evidence that there was a new experience for the Israelites, and that is the observance of this Sabbath. This order was given, evidently in anticipation of the law, which was to be given at Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments, the fourth of which was, Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. The Sabbath law was not given unto the Israelites until after their deliverance from Egyptian bondage. The law containing the observance of the Sabbath was given at Sinai. The record says, Thou comest down also upon Mount Sinai, and speakest them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant. Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. It should be observed that this was made known unto them by holy Sabbath in the giving of the law. The Ten Commandments included, Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, was given to the Jews who had been delivered from Egyptian bondage. God said, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Exodus 20, verse 2. This law was not intended for anyone else. The Jews were to remember the Sabbath in memory of their deliverance from Egyptian bondage. The record says, And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee thence through a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commandeth thee to keep the Sabbath day. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 15. Who was commanded to keep the Sabbath? The Jews were they who were to keep the Sabbath. The Jews who were servants in the land of Egypt, the Bible says. Why were they to keep the Sabbath? The record reveals that thou shalt remember thy God brought thee thence through a mighty hand and by an stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commandeth thee to keep the Sabbath. Question. Are those who contend that the Sabbath should be observed today, are they the Jews to whom this record was addressed? Do men today keep the Sabbath in memory of their deliverance from Egyptian bondage? Moses declared to those Jews that the law which commanded the observance of the Sabbath was not given even to their fathers, but to them. Hear the words of inspiration. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. Are you listening? The Lord God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day or today. Suppose we ask those who contend that we should observe the Sabbath and other statutes of the old law. Are you among the us with Moses when he declared, Jehovah made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us alive this day? According to Hebrews chapter 8, verses 8 through 13, the law of Moses, including the observance of the Sabbath, was to pass away, and a new law be given instead, the law of Christ, the New Testament. The apostles quoted the prophet in these words, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I shall make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers, in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them forth out of Egypt. God said, I will make a new covenant. The apostle concluded, verse 13, In that he saith, a new covenant, he hath made the first old. But that which is becoming old and waxeth aged is nigh unto vanishing away. God said nothing about only a part of the law being put away. Christ declared, on the contrary, One jot or tittle shall in no wise pass till the law be fulfilled, or the law till all be fulfilled. The old law was supplanted by the new law. The old Sabbath, the seventh day, was supplanted by the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. There can be no doubt that the Sabbath law was abrogated by reason of the death of Jesus on the cross. The law, including the Sabbath, was abolished. Hear the inspired apostle as he wrote these words. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 13 and 14. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. But until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Again the apostle wrote, For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make of himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Furthermore, the apostle declared, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Colossians 2 and verse 14. There can be no doubt about it. Paul concludes that the Old Testament, containing the ordinances and commandments, including the Sabbath, which was a partition between the Jew and the Gentile, was abolished in the death of Christ. With the change of the priesthood, there was a change of the law. This is revealed in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verses 17 and 18. With the change of the priesthood, Christ having become the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, which was a disannulling of the commandment going before, the record says, there was the necessity of the change of the law. The old law was removed and the new law was instituted. The inspired apostle unmistakably affirmed, For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. Did you hear that? Listen again. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 12. Is it not strange that those who contend for the observance of the old law do not attempt to maintain the Jewish priesthood order as was practiced under the old law? Remember the Bible says, and I quote, "For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law." The inspired author of Hebrews chapter 10 verses 9 and 10 made the strong affirmation that the first covenant, the old law, was removed in favor of the second covenant, the New Testament. He said, "He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all." The annulment of the Decalogue, the tables of the covenant, was an abolishment of the Sabbath law. The annulment was effected through Christ. The Bible says, "Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service, a worldly sanctuary, and after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid around about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant." Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1, 3, and 4. The abolishment of the law, the first covenant, was removal of everything in that covenant. The tables of the covenant, on which were written the Ten Commandments, including the Sabbath law. The Sabbath, therefore, is no part of the Second Covenant, the New Testament law, by which all men are governed since the death of Christ and the change of the priesthood. I'm not unmindful of the fact that there are those who offer objections to these scriptural quotations. Sabbatarians offer several objections to the New Testament teaching that the Lord's Day is to be observed rather than the Sabbath day of the Old Testament times. Objection number one, someone says, the Sabbath was to be perpetual. It was to be forever, because the prophet declared, "And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Jehovah." Isaiah 66, verse 23. But, ladies and gentlemen, that which proves too much proves too little. This is a misunderstanding of the prophet. If the Sabbath is to be a perpetual law, according to this verse, then the feast of the new moon is to be perpetual. The Sabbatarians reject the feast of the new moon. What inconsistency! The New Testament forbids new moon and observance of Sabbath day worship. The Bible says in Colossians 3, verse 16, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of any holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days." The inspired apostle concluded that the feast days and Sabbath day worship was a shadow of things to come. Christians are not to walk in the shadows, but to walk in the marvelous light of the New Testament truth. Furthermore, if the law, including the observance of the Sabbath, was for a perpetual covenant, as expressed in Exodus 31:16, so was the priesthood for a perpetual covenant, as stated in Exodus chapter 40 and verse 15. Why not observe the priesthood order as a perpetual law? Let us consider Exodus 31, verse 16. "Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant." Now notice, God did not say that this law was to be a perpetual law throughout all generations, for all time, but He did declare that it was to be throughout their generations, meaning as long as the Jewish economy was in force. Not a statement in all the New Testament can be found where Christ or His apostles ever commanded or even intimated that Christians should meet on the Sabbath day. Christ gave the new day, the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, to be observed by Christians. Those who contend with the Sabbath observance have not been thoroughly converted to Christ. They live in the smoke of the city of Babylon, who would observe the seventh day in memory of creation instead of the first day in memory of the resurrection. And objection number two. Someone suggests that Christ kept the Sabbath. Therefore, we should observe the Sabbath. As you read in Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. It is true that Christ did observe the Sabbath, but not as an example for us to follow today. He was born under the law, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, and kept the law, which was in force until his death. He observed more than the Sabbath. Jesus was also circumcised, Luke chapter 2 and verse 21, and he kept the Passover. If Sabbath observance is to be required of Christians by reason of the fact that Christ observed the Sabbath, then Christians must be circumcised, and they must keep the Passover feast. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a false conclusion. Objection number three. Someone says, the New Testament commands Sabbath observance in these words, there remaineth therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. And again, this is a misunderstanding of God's word. The context clearly reveals that the Sabbath, referred to in this text, is the heavenly rest contemplated by Christians at the end of their journey upon this earth. Read very carefully Hebrews chapter 4 and the first 11 verses. But again, another objection is raised. Someone says that Paul preached on the Sabbath, Acts chapter 13 and 16. Therefore, the New Testament example for observance of the Sabbath. It should be understood that Paul did preach on the Sabbath in the synagogue because the Jews, whom he wished to convert from the old law to the New Testament, from Moses to Christ, were gathered in the synagogues on the Sabbath. He took advantage of the opportunity to preach the gospel of Christ to them, and not the commandments of the old law. In fact, the doctrine of Christ which he preached to them was in conflict with the old law which the Jews accepted. The Bible says, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Acts 13, verse 45. The doctrine and practice of Paul, obviously, was in conflict with the observance of the old law, including the Sabbath day as a day of worship, because many of the Jews violently opposed Paul, even crying, these men have turned the world upside down, or come hither also, as you read in Acts 17 and verse 6. Paul's preaching of the gospel to the Jews on Saturday did not mean that he was observing the Sabbath as a day of worship, any more than preaching the gospel on Friday would mean that he would observe Friday as a holy day. Paul preached the gospel of the New Testament every day in some places. For 2 years, he taught daily in the school of Tyrannus, as we read in Acts chapter 19 and verse 9. And so I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, Christians observe the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, and not the Sabbath. In the address on the next broadcast to follow, we shall continue this discussion. Should Christians observe the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, or the Sabbath?